Hello and welcome to today's Lamplighter. If you were with us the past two times, we were running hard and fast as I was talking with Glenn Kreider. He has been in ministry with Racers for Christ, but now, Glenn, you are retired because of burnout, which we'll get to, but you're also a pastor and involved with Lost and Found and other ministries, which I'm going to have you back and talk about because you're still touching the people who want to find out about God. But I want to go to the point where you told me earlier, where you said, I had to quit this ministry. Not because it was a bad ministry, because it was very good, very effective. But what made you say, I have to pull back?
Well, as you run hard, and I've often told people that you either have one problem or the other. You lag behind God or you get ahead of God. I don't have much trouble with the first one. And I pushed hard and I ran hard. And the pace at the racetrack and the volume of the ministry, and I remember times before texting 3,000 phone minutes a month, following up with people, and it wears you down. And then there's another factor that I hate to admit. I think as we age, our endurance may diminish a little bit.
You don't mean it.
I mean, I'm going to be 66 here soon, and it's different than when I was 25.
Yes.
But God made it clear it was time. He made it clear through the Christian counselor I went to at my home church. And then he has such a sense of humor. He has me doing what I never thought I'd do. I like it out there. In other words, if I was a military person, I would want in the infantry, not back somewhere, you know. So
lines.
I liked it out front doing outreach ministry.
Well,
and I always
back.
Said, well, I would never be able to survive as a church pastor. Well, he directed me to Malco Christian Church, a little church. And since the week before Christmas, I have officially been their senior pastor, which is an interesting change from the kind of ministry that I've always done.
You're a disciple maker instead of a bringing them in. Now, you had burnout. I mean, major burnout. You had blackout. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm never one to quit easy, and I pushed and I pushed, and I seen the symptoms, and you were tired, and you couldn't sleep at night. You'd be up in the middle of the night all the time. But I pushed it to the point where I was going to the counselor for last year, and then finally I fessed up that when I would get really in a serious situation and I'd be pushing, you would start to black out, and I'd realize
you had literal blackouts.
I never blacked out completely, but it would start to go black, and then you'd have to concentrate on taking deep breaths. I mean, I experienced that earlier in the ministry when I pushed real hard. One time I was doing a wedding and had a busy week, and I had to think about breathing all during the wedding because I had pushed that hard.
I haven't heard this very much, that someone gets to that level. But you
now
just...
I've reached it at 65 years of age that I started to black out, and I would literally have to stop and think about breathing because the counselor says that's your system trying to protect itself. And when you do that, she said, you're wiring the pop-off valve shut on a tank, a steam engine, you know.
That's...
But we have to be aware of where God's leading us. And I know that I have to follow the Holy Spirit. I know that I have to be sensitive, leading, and do what I should. But I tend to get ahead of that because the need is so great. And people close to me said, you know, Jesus went away and rested. He went away and prayed.
Yes.
And I know that, but it's not my nature.
Well, some people, they don't get involved because they just don't want to get involved because of lazy. But you're on a different story here. You had to quit getting involved because you were pushing too hard. And we do have to pace ourselves. And it takes a little wisdom. Am I taking a much-needed break, or am I just kind of getting a little lackadaisical? And for your case, it sounds like you never got lax. You just forgot to take the break.
But it'll do that. And then it'll also, like I've had shoulder surgery and things like that. And then you'll get to the point where the muscles in the scar tissue will literally knot up.
Mm.
And it can debilitate you. And then I thought I did real good. And then I thought, man, I'm back here a couple weeks
ready
ago.
To go.
And I started pushing. Counseling is another thing that's tough. And hit again. Mm. But this time it was only a shorter time till I recovered because I...
When do you know we need to back off? When do you know you need to rest?
I can feel myself tensing up, and I can feel the anxiety building, and I never had anxiety before,
okay.
But now it starts.
So you're looking for physical signs in your body, and different people will react to stress in many different ways, there's no doubt. In your case, tenseness, anxiety, other people may have panic attacks, other things. You can't be involved in any normal process of life if you all of a sudden have something just glaring at you. So for different people, the endurance level may be different, and God made us all, wired us all a little different. We have to know where that is, but we have to push hard when we're free and open, and we have to stop and slow down before it gets too late.
Yes, because I was told that I was pushing it for heart attack and stroke categories, although I think God has other things in the plans. I mean, we traveled an awful lot, six states and part of Canada, all the staffers and meetings in the winter and racing in the summer, and I feel like my family was neglected a little, and we have prayed very hard because not all of them knows Jesus Christ. I have a daughter, a son-in-law, five grandkids, two great-grandkids, and especially them little guys, what are they going to see in this world today? And the interesting thing is, by God put me as pastor of this little church, it's giving me the opportunity to even minister to my own family better than I had. I feel like I was weak there.
Family first, not necessarily family always. But we have to find when that time is. But Glenn, let me also say that if we think, and I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm thinking about people in general.
Feel free.
Sometimes people think, they go, I'm the only one that can do this. You guys leave me alone. When we need to say, you know what? I need to humble myself and teach someone else to come alongside. Because, you know what? I'm not God's gift to humanity. In fact, the person that may take over from me may do it in so many ways so much better.
Well, and what God pointed out to me was the scripture where it said that, I think it was Apostle Paul said, he planted Apollos watered, and God gives the increase.
Right.
And that's what I told the people at the main office that I was concerned about. And they picked one of my assistants. I had seven assistant directors, Scotty Wilson. And now my role is to be on call and mentor him.
And he's kind of your boss of sorts, or at least he's taking your job.
He has my job, and I was happy to give it to him after I was. I mean, giving up something like that is not something you instantly do. It's a process of letting go when you've poured your heart and soul into all these years. But I know that life has seasons, and that season of my life is over.
Well, we sometimes think, I remember a woman, and that's not that she was a woman, it doesn't matter, that she thought that they should have a Bible study on Genesis. Okay, fine. And she implied, it's got to be me. I put out there, can it be someone else? Well, it's like, now maybe she was right and so on, but I think sometimes we take ourselves to the edge where we think that God is speaking through me so much more than anyone else. You know, y'all got to listen to what I'm saying. And God speaks through the whole body in so many ways. Sometimes we can think we're the one. So we need to say, you know what? I'm expendable when it comes to God can find my replacement.
John Maxwell said that if someone can do it 80% as well as you, delegate to them. He also said, work on your strengths and delegate your weaknesses. When I finally grasped those two things, that was important.
That's a good point.
There's another thing that God taught me earlier on in the ministry, probably 4 or 5 years in somewhere there. As we grew, I could no longer manage the staff like I used to. And I was hanging on to contacting them all myself rather than putting them under other people.
Yeah.
And I never asked for money, but we raised our own support. God took care of that. I believe in a George Mueller type thing.
Powerful man.
Yes, I kind of follow that. But you know what? All of a sudden, there was no donations. We had no support. And I got to thinking, and I was praying, and God convicted me that it's because I wouldn't let go. And when I let go, the next day there was envelopes in the mailbox. Now, I'm sure that was all coincidence. You know that was God.
Well, yeah, I take a medium view that sometimes God works through coincidences and sometimes he just doesn't. And it's you gotta read between the, because if we said every time there's mail I'm right and every time there's not mail I'm wrong.
No, but that was dramatic. I mean,
and God will use those times, and you gotta be knowing that he is talking to you that way. But there is a time and a season to move on, and sometimes you're in one ministry all your life. Sometimes you move through ministries. If you're a lay person, you may have two or three different ones. I'm taking care of my mom, but I'm helping this and I'm doing that, and I can handle it. I've got the energy. I can juggle all those things. But there comes a time when you need to say, you know what? I'm at the edge. I got to let this one go because someone else can do it and maybe better.
And as time goes on, I've noticed, as like I said, alluded to, the pollution has increased, and so has my resilience going down. I'm sure that's the only reason it can be. It couldn't have anything to do with it. I'm 66 and not 40.
You know, God does not take the holy people and give them an extra couple centuries. He gave us our same amount of time as the next person. So.
Well, I used to say we can't stop because Moses led the children of Israel out when he was 80, but evidently I'm not Moses.
No, you're not, and I'm not either. So calm down there a little bit. Yeah, we're talking with Glenn, and he's taking that in the right way. I've been so much enjoyed being with you. It's been years, like you said, and I've been impressed so much. Your love for Christ gets you out there in their face in a good, loving way, and you spread the gospel, and we need to do that as well. It's so vitally important. Every Christian can witness. Every Christian should be equipped. If you're not equipped as much as you think, that's not an excuse. It's your passion that will drive you. And that's what we've seen in Glenn as he worked for Racers for Christ. And we're going to have you come back and talk about some of these other things that you're still involved with. And the time is close. They will not hear unless we tell them, it said in Isaiah. And we must have that passion.
Show them.
Yeah.
Not being critical,
show them. No, that's exactly right. We live it, we talk it, and they have to match. And if you think, well, I'm incapable because I make too many mistakes. No, you're the one God needs.
I think the other thing that would be good to throw in here, God doesn't use the qualified. He qualifies the willing.
Very good. And our time is out. Glenn, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us here on The Lamplighter.